Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Living Audaciously. My name is Elizabeth Akunyili, and my goal is to help you live the life the Lord has called you to live. Live it audaciously as you fulfill your purpose and your calling part-time. If you're listening to me for the first time, I am a sex therapist and a fashion stylist. On this platform, however, as Minister Lisa, I help you live your best life as a Christian. I help you fulfill purpose, like I have already said, and do so audaciously. We just began the Living Audaciously season, and last week I spoke extensively about what it means to be audacious on this platform. We had an Instagram live session. So our Instagram live sessions are every Thursday at 7 p.m. We had an Instagram live session where I spoke about the definition of audacious, definitions of daring, of bold, of what it means to be the opposite, which is to be timid, unassertive, and to shrink. And then I came to the podcast to give us practical steps. So if I were you, I wouldn't just follow the podcast, because the podcast is good, but it's not long enough. It doesn't cover everything. So I try to cover a bit on Instagram and then cover a different angle on the podcast. Right. So welcome to today's episode, which is Audacity is Not Christian. And that's a myth. So I came here today to bust your myth. Okay, so I hope you love me after now. Did I pronounce that right? Myth, bit. Okay, you know what I'm saying. I remember growing up, and the boldest people in the room were never Christians. I mean, anybody would bully you because they know you're not a Christian. They will swear at you. They will use curse words because they know you won't reply. In fact, there was this point in my childhood where when someone bullies you, you hear things like, I'm not gonna curse you. I'm not gonna curse you. God go bless you. But we all know in our heart of hearts that God go bless you actually means God punish you. God punish you. The number of times we told people God bless you, but what we meant was God punish you. Right now I'm back in junior secondary school, primary school right now, and I'm really laughing crazy in my head because the number of times we told people God bless you, but we're hoping, a part of us was praying that the God we carry deep down us will look at us and have mercy and curse this person and punish this person the way they punished us today and humiliate this person has humiliated us and slap the person back for slapping us on our left cheek because we didn't turn the right to. There was that thing about how Christians were supposed to be timid. And so it was unusual that the best dressed person in class would ever be a Christian. I had very few Christian fashion role models. If I did, I possibly would have become a thorough fashionista as a teenager because I loved fashion. Okay, I didn't love fashion. My father introduced me to fashion from as far back as when I was 10, but I didn't see anybody who was dressing around me. And my dad didn't introduce me to American street fashion. I'm not talking jeans and t-shirts. No. My dad introduced me to the concept of feminine fashion back in the day, of dresses and gloves and elegance. It's the reason why when I finally launch a fashion brand, I will still choose to dress people who are going to work. I will still choose to dress people who belong in the power room. There was a measure of elegance. I'm not saying to be stereotypical. No, I'm not talking about the stereotype right now. I'm just saying what I was exposed to. It was a certain kind of, for lack of a better word, when you see a person dress up, you could see a certain je ne sais quoi. I don't know how to describe it. But they just had a courage. There was a charisma. But I can't remember ever having a pastor's wife who I looked at and felt, I need to dress like that as a child. I can't remember anyone. But again, they don't know anyone as well. So we all don't know anyone, right? We would go to school and the most intelligent person in that class would be the quiet kid who doesn't look for anybody's trouble, who's minding their business. They're possibly the most intelligent person in class, but they're intimidated by their intelligence. They're so intelligent that they will pretend to be daft just so that their mates can talk to them. I don't know if you're one of them right now listening to me. Those nerdy kids who were so smart, they will hide their glasses when other people come around just so they can look cool, and they'll mess up their hair so that everybody can say, oh, they look cool. Audacity was not taught to us as a Christian thing. And so many of us grew up doing phenomenal things, but we felt it was not our right to stand in the center of the room. We are told to be humble. We still are humble. Yes, I will come to that conversation. We are told to be humble, and they've driven it down our throats so much that we've all imbibed a false sense of humility. When I was in university, we used to call it humility. It was a false sense of humility. And over the years, being on campus, we would tease ourselves and say, oh, don't be humble, stop forming humility. So humility was like humble and humility combined together. Like, it's nonsense humility. So you go and minister and someone will say, oh, man of God, you blessed me. You say, it's not me, it's the Lord. It is the Lord, but you were willing, you were yielded. I mean, we are like 1,000 people in this room. God could have used any of us. In fact, as a matter of fact, God dropped the prophecy in the room with all of us watching. But after we shouted amen and we went down under the power and broke church chair, all of us went home to sleep. You opened your Bible and you stayed with the word. You opened your notepad and you wrote down the lyric. You went to the studio. You rehearsed with your music crew. You walked. I sing. But there are stages that I will not volunteer to sing on right now because I haven't been using that skill for a while. Right. You went to the studio. You did rehearsal, maximum rehearsal. You worked on your voice. You paid the studio person per session. You produced the song. The song was lit musically. It was lit in the spirit. You blessed us. You impacted us. And you tell us it's nothing? You tell us it's not a big deal? That's worldly. I said it. Yes, it's carnal. Because that thing you just manifested is a work principle in the secular space. Where you lie to people, and it didn't occur to me until recently that you lie to people. I used to do it. You lie to people and tell them it's not a big deal so that they don't catch up with you, so that they don't know how much work it takes to do what you do, so that they go about doing what they're doing and think they're doing it wrong because they feel like, well, Lisa does it in 30 minutes. But what Lisa doesn't tell them is that it took her 300 hours to master it before she can do it in 30 minutes. So when you do something as a Christian and you do it phenomenally and we ask you, well, Lisa, how did you get there? Oh, it's not a big deal. I just went to the studio and I just recorded. Is that what you did? Is that what Jesus would have told us? If Jesus was trying to teach us how to record music, would he have told us that he just went to the studio? See, you thought you were being humble, but you were being a liar. I said I was not going to pamper us in this season. Because I'm talking to people who are on an assignment. Habakkuk says, write the vision, make it plain that they may run, that seed. So we are in a running phase. We don't have the luxury of time to pamper and beg. Yes, I will pamper you. I will comfort you. But I'm not going to lie to you. When you refuse to be honest with us about your journey, you make the rest of us feel like we are failures. That's why many of us are not breaking out of addictions, because the person who went through that addiction and came out of it, who is our leader, makes it look like the addiction was never a thing. He just bound the devil and casted it out. He doesn't tell us he saw a therapist. He doesn't tell us he or she walked through a habit process. They didn't tell us they went through a behavioral transformation process. They didn't tell us they had to cut down on some movies. They didn't tell us they had to cut down on some songs. So when we find ourselves in those same situations, we feel like, but Pastor did it, but Sister Lisa did it, but Auntie Soso person did it. God gave her a vision, and then the vision became a business. They didn't tell you that they went to management school. They didn't tell you that it took them 5,000 hours of reading. They didn't tell you that it took them reading 50 books in a year. They didn't tell you the process. And so the problem we have is a problem of process. You guys have drawn something else out of me. Okay. I went through all that to say the reason many of us will not dominate the rooms the Lord has given us to dominate is that we feel like audacity is not a Christian thing. So we sit in the room and unbelievers dominate our square space. And I don't mean that in a condescending, oh, you're a Christian and they are not. I mean that in a, you are anointed for this phase. Yes, I'm not even talking about them. I'm talking about you. You are anointed for this. You were called for this. You were sanctified for this. You have the calling. You have the gift. You have the skill. But you won't do anything because audacity is not a Christian thing. Really? Yes. So something funny. Last year, a pastor preached my message. I call it my message because I've had that message in my spirit since I was 19. And someone finally preached it when I was 26. And I was pissed. I was pissed. And it took the Holy Ghost for me to get calm in church that day. I was really pissed. Like, really, Holy Ghost, he had to preach my message. I mean, he gave me that message since I was 19. How many of us feel like that? Like you have a monopoly of God's word. Anyway, I've always known I don't have a monopoly of God's word, but I just felt like that special someone was reserved for me to preach it in this life. It was about the harlot in Proverbs. The Bible said she decked her bed. There was myrrh. There was all kinds of fragrance. She decked her bed. She laid it. She beautified it. I'm sure the pattern on the bed sheet and on the duvet would have been very colorful. So if she was trying to attract someone like me, it must have had a lot of weave work and a lot of crafting, a lot of artistic work. She must have decked that bed, beautified it, put on candles in the room, whatever it was that she did. And she was saying to the young man, she said, the good man of the house is not at home. Come, let us drink full of our love. Oh God, why is a harlot doing this much work? I'm not going to curse. She's a harlot. She doesn't have to. She's paid to do the job. She doesn't have to show up so powerfully. She doesn't have to show up so beautifully. She doesn't have to be so decorated. She doesn't have to smell so good. Why is she so good at the job? Well, she's audacious and you are not. She didn't come to have a corner of the room. She didn't come to collect the guy's purse. Bible says, it's Proverbs that was saying that a harlot will make a man into a bread. Bread. She didn't just come to rub his head and collect his money for the night. She needs him to come back again. She needs to know that. She needs to make herself his addiction. She needs to dominate his mind. When he leaves her and goes home, she needs him to be uncomfortable at home. She needs him to be checking his wristwatch for when her husband is going to travel again. She needs him to save his money from Monday to Friday so he can bring it to her because thank God it's Friday. She needs to dominate his mind. And so in order to do that, she has to be audacious. She has to be brash. She's not going to hide and be coy and cover her face with a veil. No, she's going to seduce him. She's going to get her nails done. She's going to get her gold set organized. She's going to dress up. She's going to take her bath. She's going to shave. She's going to do everything it takes to be visible. Have you ever entered a room and there's a presentation going on? Or someone comes in, I don't know about guys, but I've seen this a lot for ladies. And this lady walks into the room in her dress, her nice heels, her hair is well done, and she's her lipstick, everything is popping. And she begins her presentation. I'm just looking at her like, my love, all I see is your clothes. Did you even read for this presentation? Oh, I think I've seen it with men. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. There was this one presentation where I felt like flogging the guy off the board. I was so pissed. Like, what is he saying? What is he saying? But the amazing thing was how this guy stood boldly in front of that in front of that slide and the remote, and he was just controlling it, and he was blabbing in his three-piece suit. He was blabbing and I was pissed, but I can't do anything, because if they had offered me the opportunity 30 minutes before he took it up, I'm sure I would have said no. I'm sure I would have turned it down because I didn't want to be too bold. I didn't want to be too audacious. I didn't want to fill up the room. I didn't want my voice to be the loudest. A pastor friend had told us how he went abroad and they had asked them to do a presentation, pick somebody in the room, and everybody had nominated him because he was phenomenal in his group. And he was shy. He was timid. Remember last week I said to be timid is to show a lack of courage and confidence. And to be audacious is to show a willingness to take surprisingly bold risks. And so he was refusing to take the risk of going out there messing up himself. So he sat down in his chair and turned down the opportunity. And this other guy went up there. And the guy was blabbing and he was pissed where he sat. But you can't blame the guy who was blabbing. You who knows what to do, refuse to do what you were supposed to do. You were hoping someone else would come and do it for you. Who said audacity was not a Christian thing? When Jesus came, Jesus was not tiptoeing around the earth. Like, you know what, they're going to kill me anyway. So I might as well eat well, live well. That's what many of us are doing. Anyway, well, Jesus is going to come. This world is going to end. So I might as well just be fine. We say silly things like, Jesus should not come yet. I've not married. I've not had sex. I'm like, really? That's your problem. Sex is your problem. Really? That's your problem. You want to marry and give birth to children and stressful. This my God. I mean, that's our problem. We just want to live a good life, have two cars. I mean, daddy has a car, mommy has a car. Okay, maybe one more car for the kids and a driver, a nice house. But that's all we want. And that's cool too. But what about the people who are tied to you? What about the people who need you to show up? Because you need to show up for some people to know that they are doing it right with their lives. I didn't know I had to speak up a bit louder. I didn't know I had to show up a bit more so that some people can know that they were doing their lives right. Because the moment I showed up on the scene and I showed up boldly, I started getting comments like, oh, I was not sure I was doing this right. Oh, I felt I was a crazy person going in this direction. I was 21 when I made up my mind I was going to go out. So I wasn't sure what I was doing. I think I stepped out first, sounded like a motivational speaker in 2017. Yes, I was sounding like a motivational speaker, but I like practicals. So I needed to go a bit more. And then I started sounding like a coach, and it did help that I'm a trained educator. So I'm very good at teaching. I'm very good at curriculums. I'm very good at content creation. And so when I started sounding like a coach, it was good because I know how to do that, right? And so I go from being a coach into, I don't just want to help people do this thing. I want to know what's stopping them from doing it, right? So let's dig into therapy. What's stopping you from expressing yourself? And as I dig into it, I'm like, this comes back to something I used to love. Sex, trauma, and abuse, and blah, blah, blah. But I had to show up on the scene first. Apostle Paul knew that they were going to arrest him when he goes back to Jerusalem, yet the young man goes. Okay, he might be an old man. He goes anyway. That's audacity. That's audacity in your call. You've got to be willing to show up. The person who told you audacity is not a Christian thing was a bloody liar. Whoever said it to you, whoever showed it to you, or they didn't know any better themselves. I remember going to school, and God bless Rita Ori for me because I haven't had the opportunity to speak to her in years. I had gone to NIFES fellowship that day and gone fellowship without my earrings. And Rita looked at me like, why did you come to church without earrings? And I can't even remember what I told her. And she said she never wanted to see me without my earrings. Rita didn't even know I loved fashion. But now I'm saved. And I didn't know how saved people dress. So I started dressing in a pretty tacky way. Many of us have kept quiet in this quiet space the Lord has given us. You are in a field, and because you're a Christian, you feel like you should not be heading the team. So that when you're not heading the team, now they won't say all the values is looking like Bible instructions. Really? As a sex therapist in Nigeria, I kept acting like, what would people say about me being a sex therapist and being a single lady? What would they think, especially with me having this inclination towards ministry? As at the time, I think I'd applied to 2 or 3 Bible schools, but something happened and I couldn't go through with them. So I know there was a ministry call over me. But again, how would people see me? Do you get? And so I was holding back and holding back until one period there was this strong wave of sex education that hit Nigeria. It was a very strong wave. Everywhere I turned, young girls were putting things in their vagina to make their vaginas sweet. I'm like, what is going on? Girls were buying bracelets for thousands of naira so that men would be attracted to them. Girls were rubbing all sorts of things so that they would... I don't know, what are you all saying? What's going on? And it dawned on me that before this wave hit them, I had been anointed for the space, but I was not audacious. I was hiding myself in a closet, and the people who were audacious, even though they were teaching people unhealthy things, and I'm not even talking on spiritual things now, I'm just talking basically biological unhealthy things. Because why in God's high heaven is your vagina trying to be sweet? Do you have yeast infection? I mean, they were teaching people these things publicly online. These guys were getting paid in hundreds of thousands of naira to help young ladies get infected. Young ladies with low self-esteem who had always wanted their bodies to look a certain way. Girls are bleaching in their thousands. People are getting drugs to look a certain way. Everybody was trying to get hips. They were taking all forms of things. And I'm like, oh, shoot. God put me in this space for such a time as this. And I was hiding in my closet. Last year, there was a shift in my life, and I realized I was beginning to do a lot of preaching and a lot of ministry teaching. And I started feeling that, oh, Lisa Hyde, what will people think? How would you be a sex therapist if you're ministering? They're going to think you're a churchy sex therapist. They're going to think you won't help them. They're going to think you won't help them have great sex. They're going to think this. They're going to think that. And I almost shut down Minister Lisa. Audacity is a Christian thing. And so I rebuke whatever that thing, whatever that boundary is in your mind, whatever anti-Christ thing in your mind that makes you feel like audacity does not belong to you because you're a Christian. God said he has not given you the spirit of timidity, but of boldness, of sound mind, and of love. Love makes you bold. Love for the people you've been called to should make you audacious. I came here just to say to you that audacity is a Christian thing. Audacity is a God thing. When God came to the earth and the earth was dark, God didn't say, oh, why is this place so dark? He took authority. He said, light be. When they came for Jesus and his disciples were trying to play rescue hero, he told them, do you think I cannot tell my father? And there'll be legions of angels. I cannot request legions. He didn't say one angel. Like in that moment, guy was bragging. Elijah was telling his guy, he said, see, those that be for us are more than those that be against us. You outnumber the enemy. Refuse that thing that tells you that audacity is not a Christian thing. So this week, here's a quick assignment for you. If you were going to do one Instagram live session and you're shy, make it two. I dare you. Make it two. If you're supposed to write one post online this week, make it two. Show up. Make up your mind to show up boldly. Surprise yourself. Shock yourself. Shock yourself into building the business like I shocked myself 6 years ago. Shock yourself into launching that product. Shock yourself into dressing up. I know you don't want people to see you in the room. So you're going to choose black this morning. You're going to choose navy blue. Whatever time you're listening to me, you're going to choose black or navy blue. Shock yourself. Wear something bright like red, yellow. Yeah, you get it. You know what I'm saying? Neon, green. Yes. Do something like that. Really sharp. Be bold. In fact, right now on the styling platform, Jet It All, and with the styling magazine, AfroGlance, we're teaching people how to dress up and show up boldly. Like wear bold colors. Yes, yes. I'm going to give you an ebook on how to wear bold colors. Stop hiding. Many of you have things to say, but you don't want to be outstanding in your room. So you're always going out every day wearing black. What's that? This your coach is also a fashion stylist. I will teach you how to wear bold colors. Show up and show up visibly. Show up audaciously, because audacity is a God thing. I hope this session helped you. This episode helped you rather. So if you have any questions whatsoever, you know where my DM is. I'm Minister Liza on Twitter, on Instagram. You want to send me a direct message on my website, go to www.ministerliza.xyz. And of course, don't forget the Instagram live session every Thursday. I promise you, I don't teach you everything on the podcast and I don't teach you everything on Instagram. But when you combine the two together, it's a whole buffet, baby. All right. See you next week.